Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Rogue One, a Star Wars story, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I'm Meredith Warner from Life.
I thought that's where I recognized you.
The board game?
Yes, exactly.
Or the cereal.
Thank you. I'm the little whitehead.
Well, thanks for coming back, Meredith. For minute nine, right? Minute nine starts off with Jyn Erso rotting away in her jail cell. And then it ends on the busy streets of Caffrine Outpost. Trading Post, excuse me. Caffrine Trading
Post. Like an outer ring of that? Is that what it said? Not a ring, no? Did I misremember that?
The rings of Caffrine? Was that
no,
the...
No, am I misremembering?
Yeah.
It was just a second
We all know what we're talking about. Yeah. So it's we just see a little bit.
It's like, the technical name. It's Caffrine. Everybody just says
everyone
to go to Caffrine.
Knows
nobody's
Caffrine.
Like, oh, I'm going to the ring. And it's like, nobody beats the Wiz. You don't say that you're going to there. You're just going to the Wiz.
It's a good reference. Everyone
right? Everyone knows what I'm talking about. It's like the Wiz.
We asked a question yesterday about, do we know that this is Jyn Erso in the cell? And I don't see anything in the minute that indicated that it was Jyn Erso.
Mm, so maybe it's not.
Maybe it's Princess Leia.
Mm.
Maybe it is Princess Leia.
She hangs out in cells.
She does hang out in cells with stormtroopers guarding
she
them.
She does love that.
That's true.
I love the, that moment, and it's at the end of this minute, but, just having somebody in a cell and having a stormtrooper walk by guarding that cell tells you a lot about a character in a weird, just because of the way that Star Wars works. Like you having these like, okay, you see the little like, Krennic bubbles and they're, and you see a stormtrooper walk by and you know, okay, well now I know that, you know, that Jyn is in trouble with the Empire. Well, assuming this is her, that many years later. So it's like okay, we get, like, it's a lot of scene setting, a lot of, like, storytelling that just can be done with one shot of, like, oh, yeah, Imperial prison. Stormtrooper walking by guarding you. I know what your deal is.
Yeah, you could really just do a still, almost like a Norman Rockwell, like a still where she's just looking out the window and you see the other prisoner laying there. And, you know, it really conveys a lot. And it's a good thing they do because they don't give you any other information in this.
There's literally no other clues.
Yeah.
I could see with the light, like, you could do a painting. I'm back to this painting idea already. Mm-hmm. With the light from the bubbles kind of on her face. So it's like, she's lit with the... but let's commission this. I'm all for it.
Do we know any artists who...
Yeah, a song would do it, probably.
Okay. She wakes up, I guess, because there's water dripping on her head. Yeah. And we hope it's water.
Right.
I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, there's got to be like an alien like drooling on top of her.
Oh, like on the ceiling or
something. Yeah. And then it never is. And even watching this again, I was like, right, alien, nope. It's just one of those...
This movie loves giving you things that have
easy, but it's too easy. Like, I'm glad they didn't do it.
Other Star Wars movies may have. I'd say, like, at least four other ones probably might have done that.
Probably.
But. So yeah, so we get to see her cell, and there's all sorts of control panels and stuff in there, and I'm wondering what they do in the cell that
toilet.
they would need a control panel.
Toilet. It's all toilet.
It's all toilets. It's like one of those fancy Japanese toilets.
I wonder if it's been repurposed, because it looks like it's kind of a crappy prison.
Hmm.
Like, it's not really working, so maybe they just turned rooms under an old imperial ship into things.
It was like a hotel or something, and they turned it into like that.
With no privacy.
Yeah. And they give her a little rag to wipe her face off.
I did like, it says a lot about her character, the way she wipes it off. It's so violent. She's so angry. And the fact that there's a little rag that she just happens to has next to her means that this is constantly happening to her every night. She's aware of the leak.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of storytelling going on in this 1 minute.
So much storytelling. And not even a minute.
Not even.
Yeah. This is probably like a good 15 seconds.
Right.
No,
'cause, well, then, because we see the real star of this minute.
Is the cellmate.
Is Ulan Musters.
It's a he, we're sure?
No, it's a she.
Oh, it's because I was sick, because that would be weird if we are gendering people to put, because usually in prisons they separate.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's funny, because I remember when I saw it, I was like, huh, I assumed it was a male character, because it's an alien. It doesn't have big eyelashes and lipstick and a dress on, so I assumed
my ingrained sexism.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know what? Her bow is what Jin was using to wipe the water off her face.
Okay,
they repurposed it into a rag.
Yeah, so. What it was. So kudos to Ulan Musters for breaking the gender barrier, the glass ceiling.
Lest we forget the alien with lipstick and eyelashes. Do you remember the name of the alien that was inserted by...
Science Noodles?
Yeah.
Do I remember the name of the... Oh, my...
I love being like, I actually want to know the answer and asking you guys, because you always have the answer.
So she was just checking to see if you've had that surgery yet, or you forgot about Star Wars.
That's right, yeah. So what are you going to tell us about Ulan Musters?
I'll tell you that, let's see, what
very sequely looking alien with the little tentacles sticking out and the, which I'm assuming is practical effects though.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Ever since Celebration, my ideas about what is and what isn't a practical effect have been shattered, whatever. You know, I'm assuming that everything is just really highly advanced animatronics now.
Mm-hmm.
Ulan Musters is a Blutopian.
Mm-hmm.
And
planet Bluto,
I guess so, right? Later planet Brutus, depending on what. We've met one other Blutopian in Star Wars, in the Star Wars saga.
Who?
Not in a movie. Not on a TV show, in a theme park. Oga from the Cantina, Galaxy's Edge Cantina, Oga's Cantina, the owner of the bar, is another Blutopian.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So there's...
another lady?
I think so. I don't know. I've never met Oga. But,
well, good for her.
Yeah.
You guys should go.
We should go to Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
We will. Yeah. Well, we had, you know, we had a plan. Alex couldn't make it, but...
Wow. Way to go.
Depending on... I think I went and had a good time with listeners.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Right? Yeah, it was terrific. You guys are the best.
Yeah, why are we asking them all questions about Galaxy's Edge when you've been there? A resident expert.
Exactly. Boy, my friend Oga and I.
Blutopians.
Blutopians. You know how they party. Yes, well, looking through my notes, I will tell you that Ulan Musters is indeed a practical effect, because it is a person in costume. That person is Kiran Shah. You might recognize that name. Kiran Shah is kind of the new go-to little person in things. The deep Roy of our day.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Kiran Shah played an Ewok and a Gonk in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, wow. So this is a classic.
This is a Star Wars legacy character.
Yeah.
Then in Force Awakens, Kiran Shah played Tito. That's just Tito. And Infulu Zed Betty Coggins from the band. Member of the band there, the Jabba Flow band.
Tito was the one that was riding the thing that had kidnapped BB-8, right?
Yeah,
got it.
So not in Last Jedi or in Solo?
I don't believe so.
Hmm. Must have been some bad blood there on the set that they didn't want her back. Is it she or a he?
I believe it's a he.
The he?
Yeah, I believe Kiran Shah was also a whole bunch of other roles.
How old he was for Return of the Jedi.
I think he was teenager, probably.
Yeah,
the Jedi
probably
era.
Very, very young.
So, but yeah, here as Ulan. Ulan Musters, also known as Kennel, which seems to be a kind of derisive nickname given to her by the other inmates. That,
meaning Jyn Erso.
Yeah. Because they thought she was kind of like dirty and disease ridden, so they were calling her Kennel, kind of.
Ah, yes, the Earth colloquialism,
right?
That spans the galaxy.
Whatever the galactic basic equivalent of Kennel is, but apparently she tried to nickname herself Nail, but that didn't stick because
Nail.
I get it. That's tough.
You know, it's like you try to give yourself a tough nickname, especially, I guess, if you're in a galactic prison.
Old Nails over there.
Not Nails.
Scarce.
Nail.
Just Nail. Old Nail over there.
Singular.
Yeah, please.
There was a whole scene that may or may not have been filmed, but was in the novelization. Mm-hmm.
I think it was only in the novelization.
Right. Well, who knows what was
true.
With all the rewrites and reshoots. And the Jyn Erso and Ulan, they have an interaction. Ulan threatens to kill Jyn Erso. It was like, when you wake up, I'm going to kill you or something like that. And then they...
Yeah, I didn't understand the description of it.
Yeah.
Because also Ulan Musters is a member of the Rebellion. Why is she threatening to kill people for no reason?
She is.
That's what it said in the
there
book.
There could be bad people that are in the rebellion.
Member of the Alliance to Restore the Republic.
There could be bad people that are in the rebellion.
Just some psycho who happens to be with the rebellion.
Well,
yeah,
also, maybe it's if you're with us or against us kind of a thing. It's like, if the Empire doesn't like you, you're with the rebellion. You're with the Alliance to
All right.
You know.
We may never know the political motivations behind Ulan.
Yeah,
that's true.
Musters, is it?
Why is she in prison?
I do not have that information.
So they have all that other information that she nicknamed herself Nail, and then everyone else called her Kennel, but not why she's there.
Why is she in prison? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think the Rogue One prequel will have to have, how did Orson Krennic find out that they were on that planet, and how did she wind up in jail?
Absolutely. Right. This is the movie fans
isn't Catalyst a Rogue One prequel, the book Catalyst? Have people been yelling at us for like 2 weeks now about Catalyst?
That means you're going to have to
tweeting
read
Catalyst. At us and all that. I'm going to have to read Catalyst? Yeah. What happened? Did I miss something? Was there a coin toss?
Update.
I think I have a copy of Catalyst somewhere. I think they sent it to me.
There you go. That's the coin toss right there. Update. Kieran is also in Solo and Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Somebody didn't do their homework.
In Last Jedi, he played Neeper's Panpick.
Oh, sure.
And in Solo, he played Karj.
He played Karj.
The car? The car?
My mother, Karj? The Karj.
Who's Karj?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's some tiny person in the background who...
All right. Don't
know. And also, born in 1956.
Okay. So.
Oh, yeah.
So 56. How old is
he? He's been
that?
Around.
66, 76.
Wow.
He has quite the legacy working on Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. 25 for Jedi.
I wonder if he got like royalties. Good, you know?
Yeah.
Could have back in the day.
Yeah.
Who knows what those contracts look like?
That's true.
Good for him.
Probably because he wasn't even credited.
Probably not.
Yeah.
In my world, he's like the rich. I'd like to believe that he's the richest member of the Star Wars world. And he just does
Screw
this
Harrison
for fun.
Ford.
He just does it for for gigs.
Yeah.
He cut the best deal. I don't know. Nobody knows how that works.
Anything else about Jyn Erso in jail before we move on to the Kaffreen streets?
Anything else about Jyn Erso in jail?
Yeah.
How did Jyn Erso get in jail?
Yeah, that we don't know either yet, at least.
So she's in jail. Well, they'll tell us later?
Maybe.
Do they?
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those offhand things like, that'll teach you to, you know, kick a stormtrooper in the shins or some dumb
That definitely
like
was
that.
A line in this movie.
Did we mention that this is the planet Wobani?
Mm-mm.
No.
Well, this is the planet Wobani.
Whoa.
Is it a prison planet?
Yes, I believe it's.
I like
it's
in the
entirely,
future planets are like all one thing. It's
of course, there's a prison on it. What else?
Dentist
would it be?
Planet, prison planet.
Mm-hmm. It's a district.
City planet. Yeah.
Just a little sidebar, Meredith. I'm asking people, if you had to like Galen Erso and Yoda or Obi-Wan or Luke, what kind of planet would you go to if you were going to go into hiding? What environment would you want to be?
I mean, I feel like I could manage Endor pretty easily, like a forest planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand this attraction so many of our characters have to desert planets because water is such a, you know, an important part of life and living.
Notice Luke didn't retire to a desert planet.
Did not. Yeah. He went to a very watery place. Yeah, I think I could do like a forest floor kind of sitch, but with the really big redwood trees, like something really cool like
Endor.
That.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you're talking about a tree. Then you're talking about a tree house.
Yeah.
So you can get off the ground. You got great views. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's like probably the best of the hideouts.
You wouldn't be worried that Ewoks would try to hunt you and eat
Ewoks
you.
Are a lovely species. I don't know, and we must keep slandering them on this podcast.
The movie shows them trying to cook and eat people. It's not my slander. That's
you just don't understand their culture.
That's true. That is... very privileged of me to judge everyone on that basis.
I do picture Meredith being more the, you know, like being led out to the banquet in her honor, wearing the, you know, with her hair braided.
The Leia outfit. And
like, super into it. Yeah. I'm all about. That's the best of, I think we went over this, our favorite Leia costumes. That one's absolutely the best.
Really? The best? Yeah. Wow.
Well, I mean, okay. Hoth is pretty good, but I like the idea that someone like C-3PO or one of the Ewoks braided her hair like during this transition from the cross the head braids to the full hair down. Like, I want to know more about that. Like, did someone come in and offer this? It's just like expected because
she just wake
princess.
Up and someone had done it. Whose hands would be more ill suited towards doing braids, C-3PO's or an Ewok's?
Oh, I think they could both work out really well because C-3PO, you have like probably like the fast, like repetitive sort of like just like it's a machine learning.
So it's just like
of
part
thing.
Of his like
yeah. And
but
then
he's
you
not
saw
like
the
nimble. He's like, you know, he can barely hold a communicator thing. He's just kind of.
But maybe he could like do something like where it's like and just done.
You know what? It's probably R2. R2 probably
R2 has an app.
R2 could do it. Yeah.
I know, but he was there.
He was there.
But no, but she was already braided by the time they come out to see R2.
That's true. So it's got to be the Ewoks. Look at they can build those immaculate. Tree forts, those tree houses.
Ewok
what can't they do?
Who braided her hair in Bespin?
That's a great question.
Did she go to like a? Did
I
she go to a
well.
Beautician
I feel
local?
Like definitely got to be a beautician at Bespin. Yeah. That place has got it all.
Yeah,
definitely. It's you know, Bespin is like kind of a fashion first location.
Yeah. I mean, look where it's located.
I picture it being like the Emerald City where they all get there.
Oh, yeah,
gets
totally.
Her hair braided. C-3PO gets all polished.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that. But instead, it's like all we see is like the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
The torturing.
So onto the busy streets of Kefreen.
Right.
I remember this scene, you know, that's where you see the crowds of the people walking around. I remember thinking in the theater, one of the stuff, I was like, so far, this feels like a big budget fan film to me. Like there's nothing that couldn't have been done with clever green screens and some, you know, because there's been no fighting really. There's been no very few spaceships that couldn't be easily faked. So that's what I remember thinking at this point.
Including the streets of Kefreen?
Almost especially the streets of Kefreen, because it mostly just seems like people wearing like robes and things.
Right.
Like you don't really get close-ups of a lot of cool aliens or anything.
So much hopping around, too. I think, is it the most hopping around of any Star Wars movie up to this date?
I think it is confusing.
Yeah.
That they in the space of 5 minutes, they go to like three different planets.
If you have to bring in, if you have to introduce an entire new framing system into a franchise that has a crawl, like what are we doing here? Like why do you, like we never needed planet identifiers before. Why do you need it now? Well, then maybe you're going a little too fast.
Yeah,
slow down.
I think it's just that one. As much as we just talked about how much we liked it, how much storytelling there was, that one shot of Jin as an adult, is unnecessary. That's what muddies it. If you just cut straight from young Jin and then Saw comes and is just like, my child, come with me, bang, Rogue One, and then cut to the streets of Kefreen, you can establish all the stuff that's established with Jin in that scene later. You can move it later to, you know, like have her, like, because it doesn't, the story doesn't progress from there yet. We just had to have another, like, she's our through line, so we just had to get her back on the other side of the
and show what she looked like as an adult,
right? But we could just have, you know, we could use that. We already gave her the identifying crystal. So yeah. We could just have, like, later when we see her in, you know. In
it's like the shots, like the close up on the crystal, and it's like moving because she's walking.
Right.
And, like, cuts out.
Yeah.
And she's walking. Yeah.
So I think if you take out that one shot that we just liked, you can just cut straight to the rings of Caffrine.
But I don't want to lose that shot. I like that shot.
That's the problem.
We lose our Plutonian.
Yeah. True. So far, we know more about Ulan Musters than we do about almost anyone in the in this movie.
But yeah, I think that there is. I don't know if that the time jump is also a thing. I guess you needed it for that. But
and yet here we are.
Like that, so Jin not only gives you your character through line, but also gives you the time jump, so you're following her through that. But again, they didn't show you the crystal or anything, so you know, like they gave her the identifier, but then they didn't go back to see it. So we don't necessarily know that that's the same character. We're just assuming.
And also, it would be very easy, like you said, it would be very easy to set up later on who she is because they have the crystal.
But you don't have the time jump, so you don't know that it's.
Oh, you wouldn't know later. That this is now 13 years later.
Right.
Does it say that it's 13 years later or just from seeing her as an adult?
But just from going from young 8-year-old Jin to 21-year-old Jin, 22.
Yeah.
There's some discrepancy here. Jin is 21 or 22 because in one source they say that. I forgot what it is. Basically, it's like one source says, oh, she was born around here. And then the other one says, like, oh, she was born just after the second battle of Geonosis, which takes place in, you know, this 21 BBY. And the other one is 22 or something like that. So there's she's either 21 or 22. It doesn't really matter.
Do you think she maybe has a birthday during the movie?
Oh, maybe.
They
should have had everybody cut from the other scene to everybody singing happy birthday.
Yeah. And now they can use it legally. They can use Happy Birthday without having to pay for it. So that always annoyed me when people would be having a birthday party and they would sing "For He's a Jolly Good Fellow" or something.
Yeah, you're like, that's not real life.
No one ever. It's like saying 555. You know, right? It instantly takes you out of the movie.
It's like just don't say the number. Just go,
Yeah.
Got it. That's the number.
So
she's 21 or 22, despite that Felicity Jones is like 30 in this, which is, you know, that's not a big stretch.
Like
it's fine.
No.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen any other Felicity Jones projects?
Have The Aeronauts that came out at Toronto International Film Festival this
the
year.
Aeronauts?
The Aeronauts, where she plays a balloonist because women can't be balloon pilots.
Of course
not. It's a very old-timey movie.
There's a scene where she takes off her hat and everyone's like, oh, it's a woman.
I've probably seen other things, I forget. But I did talk to her for this movie. We sat down and had a conversation. She's very interesting, like was really unfazed, but still excited, like still really excited, but like very much like so very, 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 very chill about it. Mm-hmm. And this is when they had quite possibly the Millennium Falcon or something. At the premiere, a giant ship of some kind, and they were going to walk out on it on the Jimmy Fallon show, like in a couple hours. I'm like, you have to walk out on this on like television live? She's like, yeah, it's gonna be great.
Wow,
she's unfazed, which is probably what you have to be to be on a very expensive film.
Yeah,
top of the call sheet. But I kept asking her, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be. Are you so excited? This is like a front female led film in the Star Wars verse, and she's like. No, that's like the new normal. Like I'm not like that's just life now. She was very just like we've moved past the conversation and now we're doing it.
Yeah.
Which was nice. But very, very chill. Very chill lady.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't think what else I've seen. What have you seen her in?
I don't think I've seen her in anything. Did she do that Bader Ginsburg movie?
She did, yes.
I didn't see that one
about that.
Forgot about that. That's good, yeah.
Did that ever come out?
Yes.
I think so.
Movies coming out and disappear so quickly nowadays. Toy Story 4.
That's I just discovered the best because there's a second run theater near my house and it's all that stuff where I'm just behind enough to be like, oh, wait, what happened to that? It's all playing there. I'm like,
right there. I'll be there right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. One last note about our friend Ulan Musters. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you can see her on Jedha. She's in that courtyard when they start having the battle with the stormtroopers. She's there.
Oh, really?
And they say it is her. It's not another one of the Blutopians. They say it is specifically her. So,
so she escape or she's...
That'll have to be in the prequel also.
Boy, can't wait to watch that movie.
A lot of plot holes need to be filled in for this movie. That is all I have for minute number nine. Number nine.
We did talk about the location title, that which that new form of storytelling that's it made me think of. This was after Guardians of the Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
right? Or was it before? Or was it the same year?
I think it was before.
Because that, we could easily look that up, I'm sure, but that...
oh, wait, someone at home is yelling in their car right now. I can hear them.
Mm-hmm. That made me think of that because they use that, you know, the different locations in space.
Yeah.
2014 it came out.
Guardians?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that was 2 years before this. So that was enough to... That was like, oh, why don't we just do that?
Wow, that's weird.
That it was...
That it was 2 years before Rogue One.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing Rogue One in the theater with you here in L.A., and I also remember seeing
Guardians here with you in L.A.,
but I would have assumed that Guardians was after Rogue One.
Mm.
Go figure.
Mm.
Anyway. So anything else for minute number nine?
Oh, I have something.
Yes. Meredith.
We don't really get to see her do it, but I learned this from Felicity. She was talking about finding the character, like the stance of the character. And I thought it was really interesting. She studied Ronda Rousey, mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Fighter
right.
and stunt person, Miss Artist. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, I'm not familiar with the world, but she studied the way that she walks and her whole like her saunter and her step and gait is completely mimicked off that very real person.
Huh. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. There you go. Fun acting. Fact about that acting. There you go. Oh, and she kept the boots. She wore the boots ahead of time for her character to like get into the character, and she kept it after the film was over. So
she could sell them on.
Sell them on eBay for lots of money.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
right.
Eventually.
That's her nest egg.
There you go.
She needs to buy it.
Rogue One boots. How much do you think someone would pay for the actual Rogue One boots right now?
You have to factor in foot fetishists with that kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
I think that drives the price up.
You have to. There you go. Could
if
be
anything's,
anything.
You know, feet or furry, that's going to drive the price up.
Well, yeah, we're looking at $1,000. We might be looking at $100,000. Like, who knows, right?
Yeah. You get that Venn diagram of hardcore Felicity Jones fans and foot fetishists. Mm. Oh, my gosh. Forget about it.
The dash of Star Wars.
You should have asked her about that.
Right.
Should have asked her that.
Yeah.
How much? And for who do you think would be interested in buying it? Please go ahead.
I don't know how people don't steal all their props and things like that from these kind of movies.
I think they're just like so nonplussed about it because they've been living in it for so long. Yeah. Maybe you're like sick of it.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Especially if you're not like a hardcore fan. And you're just like, this is just another movie I'm doing.
Or it's like you want one particular thing and then you don't know what it is, so you don't take anything because you don't take like too many things. Mm. I don't know.
So she just kept the boots.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, who knows? She could have sold the whole set and walked away with it, but
I like the idea that she stole also Ruth Bader Ginsburg's robe. She takes one article of clothing. She's building like a perfect
amalgam.
The robe and the boots. That's a powerful lady right there.
Her aerial balloonist helmet.
Yes.
Goggles.
Women can't be balloonists. They're called balloonatics.
All right, then. So I guess that'll wrap up minute number nine. And you guys have been listening to us talk for a while now. But what if you want even more of us? Like on the weekend, for example, we do a show. Hear us out. We do a show that is for our Patreon supporters called Star Wars Minute Weekend Edition. And another one that we do on Saturday, which has a rotating title. But anyway, the point is go to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, become a supporter of the show. You can get more episodes of us every week. You can get prints drawn by yours truly. You can get
Prince, the musical artist.
Prince, the musical? You draw pictures of Prince?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can go to
the musician?
You can go to a sports ball game with Pete the Retailer here in California. Mm-hmm. Or he'll come to you.
If you pay me enough, I'll come to you.
Yeah. So
we love the sports ball.
Yeah. And that's it. So we'll be back tomorrow with another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.